All right, in our last session, we saw that the God of the Scripture is also a God of law.
上一堂我们看到这个圣经当中的神也是一个有律法的神。
You see, the fundamental point we've made is that His creature is not autonomous.
我们要知道一个很重要的一点，就是神的被造物没有自主权。
God never grant His creatures autonomy to do as they deem fit.To leave what is right in their own eyes.
神从来没有给他的被造物这个自主权来随心所欲，按着自己眼中看为对的而活。
Rather, God rules His creation through His law.
但是神是借着他的律法来统治他的被造物。
And the law which we said last week or 2 weeks ago was the law we call lex aeterna, the eternal law of God, which Thomas Aquinas sees it.As the mind of God exercising His rule over the universe.
所以两个礼拜前我们谈到神的律法也被称为神的永恒法，也就是阿奎那视为上帝对宇宙行使统治权的思想。
Now, so, lex aeterna.
所以这句话 ,lex aeterna.
Now, the eternal law of God.
神的永恒法。
Now, listen, when we are talking about the eternal law of God, we know it.It first reflects His character.
所以神的永恒法是先反射了神的品格。
But it also tells us another thing, that is, it also reflects His authority.
但是它也反射了神的权柄。
Now we live under a world of authority.
我们活在一个有权柄的世界里。
Now it's like a law of the country, not only reflects.The values and characteristics of the country.
正如一个国家的法律不仅反映这个国家的价值观还有特点。
It also reflects its authority over the people it governs.
它也反映了这个国家对全体人民和国家治理的那个权威。
But right here, we are talking about a person, God, exercising His authority over His creation.Through His law.
但是这里我们谈到一个位格，也就是神通过他的律法对他的创造物行使他的权柄。
Now, I don't know if you remember the first session we talked about ethics, we talked about ethos, where it carries the imperative language that has the expression of oughtness.
所以我不知道你们还记得在我们第一课的时候，当我们谈到伦理时，我们谈到了他的命令式语言。
So when we talk about ethics, we say you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought not do that, you know?
这个讲到人应该做什么，你应该这样做，你不应该那样做。
And we usually get a reply, says who? Who instituted? Who established it?
然后人就会这样反应，谁说的？谁设置的？
You see, when people question this way, they are actually questioning the what? The authority.
所以当人这样问的时候，他们其实是在质疑权柄。
Authority comes into the picture all the time in our life.
在我们的生命当中，我们常常会涉及到权柄。
And for us parents at home, sometimes we have problem with our children's discipline, and we told them, "You have to do this and that."
对于我们当中做家长的，我们有时候在管教孩子的时候，我们说你们要这样做，你们要那样做。
And the child say, "Why must I do it?"
然后孩子会说，我为什么要这样做
？And parents say, "Because I say so."
那父母就说，因为我这么说了。
Now for that, we are exercising our parental.Authority.
所以我们正是在对孩子行使我们的父母的权柄。
And in workplaces, we know what we call managerial authority.
然后在职场，我们也有这个管理权。
Where the managers can demand the subordinates to do something.
所以我们的那个管理者可以要求下属做某样事情。
Or government and law enforcers are also given a kind of civic authority to demand their citizens to be law-abiding.
然后政府还有执法人员也被赋予一定的民事权，要求其公民来守法。
It's like when the traffic police say, "Please pull over," you don't say, "Why should I?"
所以交警叫你停车的时候，你不能说我为什么要停。
And by the uniform, the badge you're wearing, you know they have some vested authority in them.To be over all the disciplines of the road.
因为当你看到他所穿的制服还有所戴的徽章的时候，你就知道他在公路纪律上有一些某一些的权柄。
And in church we talk about what? Pastoral authority.
然后在教会当中我们谈到牧师的权柄。
And this is where the church can be protected.
有了这个牧师的权柄就能够保护教会。
Oftentimes in church we only talk about pastoral love.
常常在教会我们只谈到牧者的那个爱心。
But I would say what is of equal, if not more important, is pastoral authority without which the sheep will be devoured by the schemes of the evil one.
但是同样重要的就是牧养的权柄，因为如果没有牧者牧养的权柄，羊群就会被那行恶的恶者吞食。
And I always told my pastoral team, if you only know pastoral love without pastoral authority, we are not going to protect the sheep.
我常常跟我的牧养团队说，如果我们只知道牧养的爱，却没有牧养的权柄，我们就没有办法保护我们的群羊。
Because God instituted those authority, and we have to exercise it when need be.
因为神设立的这些权柄，我们在必要的时候应该行使。
Now we all live in all different forms and levels of authority in this world by which it functions.
在世上，我们生活在不同形式和级别的权威当中。
But when we come to the question of ultimate authority, we are actually talking about the summit of authority where all authorities are derived.
但是当我们谈到权威的终极问题时，我们谈论的是衍生出所有权威的那个最高阶层的权威。
It's whether it is a parental authority, manager authority, civil authority. What we have just said just now are what we call delegated authority.
所以不管是父母权、管理权、民事权，还是任何其他的权柄，所有这些权柄都是属于受委托的权利。
It's been delegated to people.
是授权于人的。
And Romans 13 tells us God delegates those authority to people.
罗马书十三章告诉我们，神设立的这些地上的一切权柄也授权于人。
And Romans 13 tells us that God has instituted all earthly authority.
所以神设立了一切在地上的权柄。
And we are told to submit to all these authorities, not because these people possess intrinsic authority.But because they have delegated authority given them by God.
然后我们必须要顺服权柄，不是因为这些人拥有一些固有的权柄，而是因为他们得着了神所授予他们的权柄。
Because of our inherent responsibility to obey God, that obligations to accept and obey lesser authority has to be observed.When God in His supreme authority demands us to do so.
也因为我们有这个责任要顺从神，因此当神以他至高无上的权威要求我们这样做时，我们必须遵守、接受和服从较小的权威的责任。
Now, of course, the degree to which we should obey lesser authority is a subjective matter. We could debate about that.
当然，我们可以在多大程度上不服从较小的权威是一个主观的问题，是我们可以争论的。
But we have to understand the ground basis of all authority is God Himself.
但我们必须明白，所有权柄的基础都是神本身。
It doesn't matter whether your parents are responsible or not, your manager is good or not, or your government is just or not, or church leaders, godly or not. Those authorities come from God.
所以，不管你的父母是有负责任的吗？不管你的经理是好的还是坏的，不管你的政府是公正与否，或是你的教会领袖敬虔与否，这些权柄都来自神。
There must be respect.And recognition for those authorities, which otherwise we are not going to live in peace.
我们必须尊重和承认这些权柄，否则我们无法和平生活。
And going against those authorities without good, credible reason is equivalent to going against God.
所以，如果没有充分的理由对抗那些权威，就等于是在对抗神。
Now, and we know another word from the word authority is the word author.
所以我们知道在英文字这个权柄它源于一个字叫做作者或是创始人。
God is the author of human existence.
所以神是人类存在的创造者。
He is the author of all relationships.
神是所有关系的创造者。
He is the author of human society.
神也是人类社会的创始者。
He is the supreme authority that governs all human relationships.
所以他是掌管一切人际关系的最高权威。
And he does not authorize men to do what is right in their own eyes.
所以神并没有授权人做自己认为对的事。
And he does not delegate authority to that degree where men can be autonomous.
所以神没有授予人权力可以自主自治。
So the presence of law and order, even in this natural world, is there to tell us that there is one who commands Supreme authority.
所以甚至在这个自然世界里，法律和秩序的存在是为了告诉我们有那掌握至高无上权威的那一位。
So when we study ethics, we are not just studying a set of moral theories and traditions.
所以当我们在学习伦理的时候，我们并不是在学习一套的道德理论和传统。
We must ask, who is governing?
我们要问的是谁在治理？
Who institute ethics and morals?
谁设立了伦理道德？
Who has the authority to demand that these must be obeyed?
谁有这个权柄来要求人来顺从这些伦理道德？
From there, it will lead to the person who is fully in charge and he is God.
所以从那里我们就会指向那个掌权的那个位格，就是上帝。
He is the author of this universe, the author of nature, who also commands all things in nature to abide to his laws.
所以他就是这个宇宙的创造者，自然的创造者，他也命令自然界的万物遵守他的法则。
And this means to tell us that God alone has an inherent, intrinsic and eternal right to impose obligations upon all his creatures.
所以这个告诉我们，唯有神拥有一个固有和永恒的权利，可以对他的创造物施加义务。
He has authority to command absolutely.
所以神有决定的、绝对的命令权。
But coming to this point, we know that the fallen world has revolted against God and his authority.
但是我们知道堕落的世界向神的权威造反。
And for that,We can be very conscious of earthly authority. We fear the policeman. We fear our bosses.
我们或许对地上的权威非常有意识。我们害怕警察，害怕我们的老板。
And sometimes even we husbands fear our wives, you know.
然后有时候丈夫也害怕妻子。
But we don't fear God.
但是我们不惧怕神。
Now that's a very sad tendency. In fact, a very fallen tendency.
这是一个非常可悲，但也是堕落的倾向。
Fallen as in recognizing all delegated authority.But denying the highest of authority.
堕落是因为人承认所有被授予的权柄，却否认那最高的权威。
And I don't know if we remember when Luther was brought to the Diet of Worms in 1521, where he was threatened by the Pope and the Emperor with excommunication unless he recant his writings.
所以不知道大家还记得吗？在1521年，路德被带到沃姆斯会议，那个教皇和皇帝威胁他说，除非他撤回他自己的著作，否则他将面临被逐出教会，还有被处决的这个危险。
And remember what Luther said, and this is what he said.
然后路德当时这样说
：“My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot, and I will not recant anything.” For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen.
所以路德当时说，我的良心被神的话语管辖约束，我不能也不会撤回任何内容，因为违背良心既不正确也不安全，求神帮助我。
Now what a statement is this?
所以这是何等有震撼力的一句话。
My conscience is captive or is bound by the word of God.
我的良心被神的话所辖管约束。
Now, to put a subtle note here that not all people who acted against the church authority is in the same spirit as Martin Luther.
当然我这里必须说明，并非所有反对教会权威的人都有像马丁路德的精神。
But Luther made a rather thought-provoking statement about the authority of God's word that binds his, what, conscience.
但是路德说神话语的权威约束了他的良心，这是一个相当发人深省的声明。
You see,Our conscience may be influenced by lesser authority.
我们的良心可能会受到一些较小权威的影响。
Sometimes it may be influenced by the practice of the church or influenced by those in our inner circles, our friends, our teachers, and so on.
可能我们会受到教会或者自己圈里的人影响，或者是我们很感激的老师的影响等等。
Or sometimes our conscience can even be suppressed by sin.
有时我们的良心甚至会被罪压制。
But no one can bind our conscience absolutely except the word of God.
但是除了神的话语之外，没有人能绝对的约束我们的良心。
Now, if the authority of God is anything to reckon with, it is with this conscience that he puts in us.
所以如果神的权柄是值得重视的，我们就要看他所赋予我们的良心。
I mean, if you really want to know how much authority God has over us,Just look into our conscience.
所以如果我们真的想知道神在我们身上有多大的权柄，我们可以看看我们的良心。
Our friends, our teachers, our parents, who are they? They are only with us periodically, but our conscience is with us all the time.
我们的朋友，我们的老师，他们只是时不时与我们在一起，但是我们的良心是常常跟我们在一起的。
But you see, sin tells us to look away from our conscience.
但是罪告诉我们要远离我们的良知。
Sin tells us to suppress our conscience and follow public opinion.
然后罪告诉我们要压抑我们的良心，然后跟从群众。
Sin tells us, see what your friends are doing.See how people generally are believing it. What are they believing in?
所以告诉我们，你看看你的朋友在做什么，你看看人一般相信的是什么。
But listen, once you have read the word and understand something to be true and false, and it's crystal clear to you, your conscience is bind.
但是一旦你读了神的话，你明白了什么是真，什么是假，然后这个对你很清晰的时候，你的良心就会被约束了。
After that, you may be still pressured by your friends, teachers, or to do otherwise, to say otherwise, but that would result in more fear and uneasiness in you.
过后你可能还是会受到你的朋友、老师的压力，让你做或说跟神的话不一样的事，但结果是你会变得更惧怕和不安。
Why?Because you are then going against the highest of authority.
为什么呢？因为你违背了那最高的权威。
You see, despite the fact that we are fallen, God has put in us a natural mechanism in every one of us to tell us that there is no excuse to go against Him.
尽管我们都堕落了，神在我们每一个人的心里设置了一个自然的机制，告诉我们，我们没有任何借口来违抗神。
And that natural mechanism.Is our conscience.
然后那个自然的机制就是我们的良知良心。
And that is why Martin Luther says it's neither right nor safe to go against the conscience because that will be going against God.
这也是为什么马丁路德说我们要违背良心，这是不对也不安全的，因为这就是违背神。
You know, sometimes I get really angry with people.
有时我非常生人的气。
You see, when I look at a person in the eye and I know his conscience already told him that it is wrong and it is wrong for him.To persist in his current way.
有时我看一个人的眼睛时，我知道他的良心已经告诉他，他错了。他如果坚持现在的做法是不对的。
But in out of pride, he continues to distort the truth and use lame arguments to rationalize his ways.
但是因为骄傲，他还继续歪曲事实，或者是强词夺理来合理化自己的行为。
Then I know this is not a problem of stupidity.But one of suppressing his conscience.
所以我就知道他的问题不是愚蠢的问题，而是压抑自己良心的问题。
And that is what makes me really angry with that person.
所以这个就是叫我很生那个人气的理由。
Because that would tell me that he is disregarding the highest authority.
因为他正在忽视最高的权威。
He has no regard for the God who is in his heart.Speaking to him through his conscience.
他藐视了正在跟他的良心说话的那位神。
And this is where I'm going to bring in the idea of natural law, which we are going to talk about today.
所以我们今天要谈到这个自然法。
Now we've just spoken about the eternal law of God that forms the basis of Christian ethics.
所以我们已经分享过神永恒的律法就是基督教伦理的那个基础。
And from here, we want to introduce the idea of natural law,Which in Latin is lex naturalis.
但是今天我们要讲到这个自然法。
那 we haven't heard of this, or most people don't heard of this.
大多数人可能没有听说过这个。
Now, on our discussion of Christian ethics, it wouldn't be so comprehensive if we do not have a thorough understanding on the subject of natural law.
所以如果我们没有彻底的明白这个自然法，我们就不会很全面的认识基督教伦理。
Some Protestant scholars see natural law as thoroughly a product of the Middle Ages Catholicism, but I don't think we should conveniently assume its insignificance.
有一些新教学者认为自然法完全是中世纪天主教的产物，但我认为我们不应该轻易的把它当作是没有意义的。
You see, there are more into the theology of natural law which we could learn from.
所以自然法神学还有值得我们学习的地方。
Now, what does Luther say about natural law?
那路德怎么论到这个自然法呢？
Now, Luther sees natural law as concerned with moral reasoning.
路德认为自然法与道德推理有关。
Natural law has put in human being, though fallen, an ability to reason and make moral decisions to sustain the survival of the society.
自然法赋予堕落的人类推理和做出道德决定的能力，以维持社会的生存。
In his works in natural law, Luther saw in the natural law or the law of reason as the particular source of all legal institutions.
所以在路德的自然法著作当中，路德实际上将自然法或者是理性法视为所有法律制度的特殊来源。
Now scholars who read Luther saw that the reformer indeed desired to make natural law a principle of social reform.
读过路德的学者们会看到，这位宗教改革家确实希望将自然法当作是社会改革的一个原则。
But somehow, as soon as he tries to bring this conception into practical use, he realized he had to borrow from the Old Testament and the New Testament.
但是当他试图要实行这个概念时，他不得不参考旧约还有新约。
So it seems that there is an unspoken connection between the natural law of God and the eternal law of God.
所以可见自然法和神的永恒法之间似乎存在着一种不言而喻的联系。
Now, of course, scholars have different definitions of natural law.
当然不同的学者对自然法有不同的定义。
In the philosophical realms, natural law is a philosophical theory.That states that humans have certain rights, moral values, and responsibilities that are inherent in the human nature.
在哲学领域，自然法是一种哲学理论。它指出人类拥有人性中固有的某些权利、道德价值观还有责任。
The natural law theory is based on the idea that natural laws are universal concepts. They are not based on.Any culture or customs.
所以自然法理论的观点是，自然法都是普遍概念，不是以任何文化或习俗为基础。
For instance, having children is not something that is influenced by culture or custom.
比如说生孩子，这个不是受到文化或习俗的影响。
But there is a natural tendency in us to reproduce, and a natural inclination in us.To preserve our family line and to a certain extent the human race.
但是人有一种自然的繁殖倾向，也有一种自然的倾向，渴望保存我们的家族血统，并在某个程度上保护人类。
Have you wondered why committing suicide is a taboo?
大家有没有想过为什么自杀是一个禁忌？
It's not natural for man to commit suicide.
人自杀这个是非自然的。
I mean, we do see suicidal cases, but it is unnatural.
当然我们有看到人自杀，但是这个是非自然的。
It is done by someone who has lost his sense of naturalness.
这个是当人失去那个自然意识才会做的事。
Otherwise, the natural precepts we have in our natural tendency is self-preservation.
不然我们的自然倾向就是要自我保护。
You see, there's a natural sense of law in us.
所以我们里面有一个对律法一个自然的意识。
We remember our Lord Jesus mentioned in his revealed laws, Matthew 7:12. He said, "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you."
当主耶稣提到他已经显明的律法的时候，他说：“无论何事，你们愿意人怎样待你们，你们也要怎样待人。”在马太福音第七章。
I'm sure we have read that verse before.
相信大家已经读过这个经文。
But if you know, Confucius said almost exactly the same words.
但是其实孔子也曾经说过类似的话。
And Confucius was 500 years before Jesus.
而孔子是早主耶稣500年的那个的人。
He hadn't heard our Lord Jesus say those words before.
他从来没有听过主耶稣说过那些话。
And he was not a Jew.
他也不是犹太人。
But in his heart, he comprehended that same notion of justice.
但是在他的内心深处，他也理解同样的正义观念。
That idea was found in his natural sense of justice in living with people in the society.
这个自然正义感是他在与社会人群生活在一起时所领悟出来的。
So for that, we know God did not hide his laws from the fallen world.
所以从那里我们会知道，上帝并没有向这个堕落的世界隐藏他的律法。
Despite having rebelled against God, there is a naturalness that GodHas put in man that though they are fallen, they are without excuse in not knowing what is right and wrong to a certain degree.
所以尽管人背叛了神，但神却仍然赋予人一种本性，就是虽然人堕落了，他们在某种程度上没有借口，不知道什么是对的，什么是错的。
But of course, the extent of that natural law as to how much it covers is subjected to debate.
当然这自然法的范围它到底涵盖多广的范围，这个是仍然存在争议的。
For some, they believe that natural law only exercises its influence over the justice to be found in this world.
对某些人来说，他们相信自然法只会对这个世界上的正义发挥影响力。
Now, for Thomas Aquinas, who wrote extensively on natural law, he believes natural law and religion were inextricably connected.
所以对于阿奎那针对这个主题写了很多文章，阿奎那认为自然法和宗教有着密不可分的关系。
He believes that the natural law flows out of the eternal law that is the wisdom of the triune God.
所以他相信自然法源于永恒法，就是三一神的智慧。
What he meant to say is that natural law is a participation of the eternal law.
所以他的意思就是说，自然法是永恒法的参与。
It is not something otherwise different from the first and highest law in the mind of God.
它与神心目中的首要和最高法则没有什么不同。
Rather, it is the rational creature's participation of the eternal law.
相反的，它是理性生物对永恒法的参与。
Now, Aquinas.I mean, he believes there are five primary precepts that covers the natural law, which gives the key ideas of ethics.
所以阿奎那认为有五条基本戒律涵盖了自然法。
Now, what are they?
所以这五个是什么呢？
Now, five of them, these include what I've just said. Number one, self-preservation.
第一是自我保护。
There is a natural tendency in man to live.
所以人都有一个自然的倾向要生存。
Now, it's easy to understand that. Okay.
所以这个是很容易理解的。
Next, reproduction.
另外一个繁殖。
And there is a natural yearning in all of us to carry on with our lineage, isn't it?
所以我们每个人都有一种倾向，要一种渴望要延续我们的血统。
And third, education.
第三，教育。
Now, to learn and keep learning is only natural.
学习和不断的学习是很自然的。
We are not just instinctive creatures like the animals which live by instincts.
所以我们不仅仅是像动物一样靠本能生活的这种本能生物。
Rather, we are intellectual beings who learn things and improve on things, right?
我们乃是学习事物并改进事物的智力生物。
And we reason with things.
所以我们跟事情有进行思考。
And as we do so, we accept ideas or reject ideas.
所以当我们在推理的时候，我们在这个当然我们有些的构思想法我们会接受，有些我们会拒绝。
That comes from education.
所以那个来自教育。
And number four, what the cleanest thing is, one of the precepts is living in society.
第四个是生活在社会中。
And that includes to love, to coexist, and to live in harmony with our fellow men.
所以这个包括与人相爱、共存、和睦相处。
It's something natural. It's not something you have to learn it.
这个是非常自然的，不是你特别需要学习的。
It is only natural that we hope to live in peace with our neighbors, right?
我们都希望我们可以与邻舍和睦相处，这是很自然的。
No one in their natural mind loves to start a war, isn't it?
没有人很自然的喜欢开始一场战争。
And number five, which is subject to debate, it's about worshipping God.
第五个是比较有争议性的，就是有关敬拜神。
Of course, the unbeliever will dispute that.
当然，非信徒会反对这个。
But I will come to that conclusion in a moment to prove that why in our natural mind we have to come to accept the truth about the existence of God, or be at least convinced by its reason.
但是我等一下会谈到。我们为什么要证明在我们的自然头脑当中，我们必须得出关于神存在的结论。
But to state my case, I would say to the natural mind, it constantly seeks a higher being.
我认为人的自然心灵是不断的寻求一个更高的存在者的。
Why? Because he is conscious of his limitations.
为什么？因为他清楚知道他自己的有限。
When he is helpless in the realms of man,He will naturally seek divine help.
当他在人间当中无助的时候，他自然就会寻求神的帮助。
I think I've told you I've known someone who is an atheist. He is a damned that God doesn't exist.
我曾经认识一个无神论主义者，他坚信神不存在。
When he's totally helpless about his spouse's illness, he accepted a prayer for her.
但是当他妻子生病，而且他非常无助的时候，他就接受了人为他的妻子的祷告。
Now, before I go on to talk about the biblical view of natural law, some of us might want to ask a legitimate question.
那我还没有谈到自然法的圣经观点之前，有些人可能会想要问一个非常合理的问题。
That is, since God has given us His revelation, that is His revealed laws, is there any need to understand the significance of natural law?
就是既然神已经给了我们他的启示，也就是他所显明的律法，那么我们还有必要要了解自然法的意义吗？
And some ask, hasn't our fallen nature corrupted every faculty of our soul, that whatever sense of naturalness we have in us is in bondage to sin?
也有人问，我们堕落的本性难道没有败坏我们灵魂的每一个机能吗？无论我们有多么自然意识，难道 不是都被罪捆绑吗？
Now listen, in all sincerity, I am not suggesting that the natural law of man can be in any way equivalent to the eternal law of God.
我并不是说人类的自然法可以等同于上帝的永恒法。
Neither can anyone be fully convicted of sin and be brought to salvation through natural law.
任何人都无法完全认罪并通过自然法获得救赎。
But we have to ask,two important questions when we are considering the case for natural law.
但是当我们谈到自然法的时候，我们一定要问两个问题。
First, how does the world survive when it has departed from God and His goodness?
第一个问题，当世界离开了神和神的良善时，它是如何生存的？
Why didn't we kill one another?
我们为什么没有自相残杀？
Is it because we always have naysayers who think that the world is still surviving well even without your Christian God.
有些反对者常常会说，我们这个世界在不认识基督教的神的情况下还是存在得很好。
We are not killing each other, we are not raping each other. So Christians, why are you so, making your religion so compelling?
我们没有自相残杀，所以你们基督徒为什么一定要把你们的宗教强加在我们身上？
So in our study of natural law, we are going to prove the case how GodHas managed to sustain this world despite of all its wickedness and godlessness.
所以当我们在学习自然法的时候，我们将要证明，尽管这个世界充满了邪恶和不敬虔，神是仍然怎样维持这个世界。
Second, how does God reveal His existence to a fallen world which deny His existence such that no man has any excuse for rejecting Him?
就第二个问题就是，上帝如何向这个堕落又否认他的存在的世界显明他的存在，以至于没有任何人有任何借口拒绝神。
And philosophically, natural law does strengthen the case for the existence of the Christian God.
从哲学上来说，自然法确实加强了基督教上帝存在的理由。
In fact, both questions that mention deal with how we are going to engage an unbelieving world, which isrebellious and resistance towards God.
其实这两个问题都涉及我们该如何面对一个悖逆神、抗拒神、不信神的世界。
So let's very quickly understand the case for natural law and its significance in dealing with these two questions first.
所以让我们很快的借着这两个问题来了解自然法还有其意义。
Now we know this world is fully corrupted, alienated from God and His goodness, but we have to ask,How did God still sustain the world since the fall such that the whole world can still be intact, kept in order?
首先当这个世界完全败坏与神和神的良善隔绝的时候，我们要问自从堕落以来神是如何维持世界的，以致整个世界仍然能得到保守，不至于自相销毁。
And simple, I just said it's because of natural law.
这都是与自然法有关的。
People naturally know we shouldn't destroy one another.
人很自然的知道我们不应该自相残杀。
And we recognize that secular states do not have biblical laws, but it is important for the survival of the world and the society to recognize the significance of natural law.
我们知道尽管世俗国家不接受基督教的圣经律法，但是承认自然法的重要性是对世界和社会的生存很重要的。
You know, sometimes when it comes to voting, you know,people ask me, are you going to vote, definitely vote for the Christian? I say, no, I'll vote for the candidate who believe in natural law.
有些人问我们，当我们讲到投票的时候，有人问我，你一定会投票给那个基督徒吗？我的答案是，我会投票给那个相信自然法的人。
You see, if there is any good sense left in this fallen world, it is in this ability to sense and recognize what is of nature.
所以如果这个堕落的世界还剩下有什么好东西好地方的话，那就是它能够感知和识别自然的东西。
But of course, in this increasingly sinful world, what is of nature will slowly be corrupted and then people will debunk it.
但是我们知道在这个日益犯罪的世界里，自然的东西很快也会被腐败，被人拆毁。
But it doesn't mean what is of nature will disappear from the face of the earth.
但这并不代表自然的事物将会从这个世界的表面消失。
As the Bible tells us that what is of nature will still be embedded in the human hearts despite its fallenness.
因为圣经告诉我们，尽管人堕落了，但是自然的元素仍然根植于人心。
And as Christians engaging the secular world, reasoning with secular people who doesn't accept anything about the Christian morals, we have to understand thatIt is not reasonable to insist upon them our Christian values.
所以我们一定要明白，当我们基督徒接触世俗的世界，还有我们跟那些不接受任何基督教道德的人推理的时候，我们一定要明白，我们坚持对他们说，要坚持要他们接受圣经的道德伦理，这个是不合理的。
It's not rational to say, hey, this is the Christian morals. You should observe it. No.
我们如果跟一个人说，这个是圣经所提倡的。道德原则你一定要遵守，这个是不合理的。
Of course, the whole world we know is accountable to God.
当然，我们知道整个世界都要向神交账。
But it's not rational, it's not convincing if we tell the non-believer, say, "Hey, it's wrong to be engaged in an affair, or it's wrong to be involved in."Gambling or high-risk trading.
但是如果我们跟一个非信徒说你搞外遇，你赌博，你进行高风险的投资是不对的。
And you see, I have came across parents with difficult and unbelieving children.
他们是不明白的。有时候我遇到一些父母告诉我们，他们的孩子很难教，因为他们不信主。
And they have no regard for any Christian moral values.
因为他们不尊重任何基督教的道德原则。
And、some of their children, you know, just stay with or cohabit with their boyfriend and girlfriend and say, "Don't worry, mom. You know, we're using contraceptive."
有些人他们跟他们的男女朋友一起同居，然后他们告诉父母说：“你不用担心，因为我们有避孕。”
And some people engage in trying to get rich from buying cryptocurrencies and as I said, high risk investments, so on.
然后有些人又想通过进行高风险投资买那个加密货币来发财。
And some are advocates of LGBTQ and they don't think it's morally wrong.
有些人他们是同性恋的拥护者，他们也不觉得这个在道德上是有错的。
And I've heard some of them told their parents, and "Dad and Mom, why are you imposing your Christian moral values upon us? We are unbelievers."
所以有些人也跟他们的父母说，你们为什么要把你们的基督教价值观强加给我们？我们是非基督徒。
We have our own moral values about sex, about marriage, about money. Why do you care?
我们自己对于性、婚姻、金钱有自己的道德价值观，你为什么要管我们？
So this is where we have to first argue on the premise of natural law, not God's eternal law.
所以我们就是要先以自然法为前提来进行争论，而不是从神的永恒法开始。
Now we got to set people thinking, is it natural for us to be involved in sex, in marriage, in finances, in such a way?
我们一定要让人家思想，我们以这种方式来处理性关系、婚姻和财务，这是自然的吗？
Is same-sex union natural after all?
同性的结合到底是自然的吗？
I mean, just look at our bodily organs and biological processes, and we will know natural laws offers functional approach to human activities.
所以当我们看我们身体的器官和生物的过程，我们就会知道自然法为人类活动提供的是功能。
You see, sometimes when people are resistant to our faith or moral values, we have to argue on the premise of naturalness.
所以当人反对我们的一些价值观的时候，我们一定要从自然法来着手。
So understanding natural law is very important for the Christian to understand how God creates and sustains the unbelieving world and protect it from perishing.
所以如果基督徒要理解神如何创造和维持不幸的世界，并保守它免遭灭亡，那么理解自然法是非常重要的。
It also gives us some clue to engage the unbelieving world.
自然法也给了我们提示该如何接触不幸的世界。
Now that's number one, okay?
那个是第一。
The second, natural law and the ethics that flow from it does give us a glimpse of the existence of God.
那第二，自然法和源自自然法的伦理学确实让我们看见神的存在。
You ask, how does God give the fallen world a sense of His goodness such that in all the relative goodness in this world, philosophers and thinkers can begin to think maybe, well, there is a case for the existence of God.
所以我们要问，上帝如何让堕落的世界感受到他的良善，以致因为这世界上所有相对的良善，哲学家和宗教思想家可以开始思想，也许神的存在是有理由的。
And maybe we Christians can convince them why limiting God in all our equations is not possible after all.
也许我们基督徒可以说服他们，为什么从我们所有的方程式中拿掉神是不可能的。
Now, I agree that the natural law may not be able to point us to the Christian God.
我认同自然法可能无法将我们指向基督教的神。
But it could somehow show us the existence of a God whose attributes is close to that of the Christian God.
但是它可以在某个程度上向我们显明一个属性与基督教的神接近的神的存在。
I don't know whether you have heard about Immanuel Kant's moral argument for the existence of God.
我不知道大家有没有听过康德关于神存在的论证。
Now, though Kant remained agnostic with regards to God, but he was apparently torn with regard to the existence of God.
所以虽然康德对于神的存在仍然持不可知论，但是他显然对神的存在感到困惑。
Kant was adamant that the existence of God could not be proved in any theoretical or speculative way.
所以康德坚信神的存在不能以任何理论或思辨的方式被证明。
Because God's existence cannot be proved scientifically.
因为神的存在无法用科学来证明。
And reasonably speaking, science tells us about causes.
因为科学告诉我们起因。
And science tells us, oh, man comes from ape.
科学告诉我们人类来自猿类。
Or the carpet comes from synthetic fiber.
地毯来自合成纤维。
But God comes from what?
但是神从哪里来呢？
So not possible to prove God in that sense.
所以我们不可能从这里证明神。
But on another note, Kant argued that one could still assume God existed because morality exists.
但是另一方面，康德认为人们还是可以假设神存在，因为道德存在。
And he said it isBetter for men to believe God exists so that the society can be morally responsible.
他说人类最好相信神存在，这样社会才能负起道德责任。
So this is his argument about the existence of God.
这就是他关于神存在的论证。
Now he simply said, for ethics to be meaningful ultimately, there must be justice.
所以他说的是如果要使道德最终有意义，就必须要有正义。
Because in the final analysis, if the wicked prosper and the righteous suffers and injustice prevails, then there is no reason to seek to be ethical, right?
因为如果归根结底，如果恶人昌盛，一人受苦，不公正盛行，那么就没有实际理由去追求道德了。
If crime pays and justice doesn't,Why would you seek justice?
如果犯罪带来好处，但是正义没有好处，我们为什么要寻求正义？
Then Kant asked the question, then what is necessary for justice to be real?
然后康德就问，如果要有真实的正义，需要什么呢？
Well, it's obvious that we live in a world that's upside down where justice don't always prevail.
很明显的，我们活在一个颠倒的世界，正义并不总是获胜。
So, for justice,To be meaningful, there must be ultimate justice. That's what he said.
所以如果要有终极的正，所以我们如果要正义有意义，我们就需要有终极的正义。
And for ultimate justice to happen, something else must happen.
为了达到这个终极的正义，有另外一些事情一定要发生。
That is, there must be life after death.
也就是说，死后必须有生命。
There must be a continuity of consciousness for everyone after the death of this physical life.
每一个人的肉身死后，我们的意识应该要有连续性。
Or else we could never experience the full measure of justice, right?
否则我们永远无法体验到完整的正义。
And suppose we came to consciousness after death, so what is there to ensure justice?
所以如果假设我们死后恢复意识，有什么可以确保正义呢？
That is, there must be a judgment coming for everyone.
就是每一个人必须要面对审判。
There must be judgment that is according to how each of us have lived this life.
必须要有与我们每个人在今生怎么活相关的那个审判。
Every of our thoughts and action must be brought to judgment.
我们的每一个想法每一个的行为都必须接受审判。
Every single one of them.
每一个都需要。
And the judgment must be perfect.
然后那个审判一定要完全完美。
And for judgment to be perfect, what do you need?
所以如果我们要这个审判是完全的，我们需要什么呢？
We need a perfect judge.
我们需要一个完美的审判官。
And in the perfection of the judge, he must know all the facts of the case.
然后这个完美的审判官，他必须知道这个案情所有的事实。
He must know all the mitigating circumstances.
他必须知道所有的减罪因素。
He must have a perfect understanding of every transaction before him if he were to give a perfect verdict.
他要知道所发生的每一件事情的所有的，他要对所发生的每一件事情有完美的理解，才能够做出完美的判决。
And not only he must have all knowledge, he must be perfectly righteous.
他不但必须拥有一切的知识，他也必须完全的公义。
Because you could have a judge who knows all things.Yet, who is corrupt and practice favoritism, then you are not going to arrive at a perfect verdict.
因为你可能有一个无所不知的法官，但他却是腐败的或是偏袒人的，那么你就不会得到一个完全的判决。
So this judge has to be blameless and impeccable in his character.
所以这个审判官在这个角色上必须是无可指责也无可挑剔的。
But even that is not enough to guarantee perfect judgment.
但是就算是这样，也不足以保证完美的审判。
That judge must also have the power to enforce the laws of his justice.
因为那个审判官还必须有这个权力来执行他的正义的法律。
He must have the power to put people in hell for their sins and reward people for their good.
他必须有这个能力来因人的罪将他们投入地狱，也因人的善行赏赐他们。
And there you can see.What is this talking about? We are talking about an all-knowing, an all-righteous, an all-powerful God.
所以我们所谈论的是一个全知、全义、全能的神。
And he gives a perfect image of the Christian God, isn't it?
所以他就带出了基督教的上帝一个完美的形象。
And this is the categorical imperative reasoning Kant arrives at.
这就是康德所得出的绝对命令推理。
What he proposed is that though one cannot experientially prove that God exists, but one can assume that he exists through reason.
他所要讲的是，虽然我们在我们的体验上不能用科学来证明神的存在，但是我们可以通过理性来假设神存在。
Though I will not say he's proven a believer of God,
虽然我不会说他被证明是神的信徒，
but that moral conscience in him leads his reasoning.To the existence of such a God.
但他内心的道德良心指导引导他推理出这样一位神的存在。
And that coincides with what I've always read in Romans 1:20, when it says here, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse.
这也是我们在罗马书第一章所读到的一章二十节，自从造天地以来，神的永能和神性是明明可知的，虽是眼不能见，但借着所造之物就可以晓得，叫人无可推诿。
So, the natural law which is endowed in our naturalness states that the case for the existence of God is reasonable.
因此我们的本性所赋予的自然法证明了神的存在。
Now, but Romans chapter 1:18, if you know, it says that we are so godless and wicked that we suppress those reasoning in our natural conscience.
然而罗马书第一章十八节又说我们是如此的不敬虔和邪恶，以致我们在我们的自然良知中压制了这些推理。
So as I've said in my earlier series, we men do not have an intellectual inability.
所以我在我之前的教导系列我曾经说过，我们人并不是在智力上无能。
Our problem is not with the intellectual problem.
我们的问题不在我们的智力方面。
Our problem is with our morality.
我们的问题是在道德方面。
We have a moral inability.
我们在道德上是无能的。
We reject the God of the Bible because of our moral failings.
我们因道德上的缺陷而拒绝圣经中的神。
And we rather believe that morality is relative.
我们宁可相信道德是相对的。
And things happen by chance, we believe that.
我们相信事情发生是偶然的。
And there is no guardian for absolute moral norms.
我们也相信绝对的道德规范没有守护者，守护者。
So in that sense, the understanding of natural law is so important for us to at least engage the non-believer.
所以我们对自然法的理解对于我们与非信徒的接触是非常重要的。
The biblical assumption is that in every man, though fallen, has in his naturalness a sense of natural reasoning that will lead him to conclude the existence of God.
所以圣经的假设是每个人虽然堕落了 但在他的本性中都有一种自然推理，这会引导他得出神是存在的结论。
So now let's come to the biblicalbasis for natural law.
我们现在一起来看这个自然法的圣经基础。
Before I do that, I'd like to relate a noteworthy incident in America affairs of politics.
但是在这之前，我想先提一个在美国政治界中一个值得注意的事件。
Now, if you're into politics, you will know this happening. In 1991, there was a very controversial judiciary nomination proposed by President Bush.
所以在1991年布什总统提出了一项非常有争议的司法提名。
The president proposed a jurist by the name of Clarence Thomas to be the associate justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
所以总统提名一位名叫克拉斯伦托马斯的法官担任美国最高法院的副法官。
And today he is still one of the judges in the Supreme Court.
一直到今天他还是一直在这个最高法院担任法官。
And Thomas grew up as a devout Catholic.
托马斯从小就是一名虔诚的天主教徒。
But he was pretty unpopular with the women rights group because of his conservative views, especially on abortion.
但是因为他是持有保守观点，尤其是针对堕胎的问题，所以他在女权组织当中非常不受欢迎。
And in his nomination in the Senate,Thomas won with a close shave when the vote went 52-48 in favor of him.
所以在那次的提名中，托马斯以微弱的优势获胜，参议院以52-48投票支持他。
The Republicans didn't expect such a close fight.
共和党员没有想到会出现如此激烈的战斗。
And one thing that creates such a controversy about Thomas was that he said he believes in natural law.
而托马斯之所以引起如此的争议，是因为他说他相信自然法。
And during then, Joe Biden, who was then a senator, was apoplectic upon hearing that, and he said, "Who still teach natural law these days?"
所以当时身为参议员的拜登听闻此事，勃然大怒。他说：“现在已经没有人教导自然法了。
”I mean, he was somehow right.
所以他在某种程度上是对的。
In fact, to most law schools in America then and now, natural law was a thing of the past.
事实上是对于当时和现在的美国大多数的法学院来说，自然法已经成为过去了。
But throughout Christian ages, till the Middle Ages, from the Roman law to the British law down to the American Republic, there is a strong commitment to the idea of natural law.
但是在整个基督教时代直到中世纪，从罗马法到英国法，再到美国共和国，人们都坚信自然法的理念。
In fact, being dazed, most of the American founders believed in God's providence and the natural law tradition.
事实上，作为自然神论者，大多数美国开国创始人都相信神的护理和自然法传统。
So what was the idea of natural law, which some scholars believe was developed following the philosophy of Thomas Aquinas and which was said to have taken its roots from St. Augustine theological principles?
那么自然法的概念是什么呢？一些学者认为自然法是根据阿奎那的哲学发展起来的，据说它根源于圣奥古斯丁的目的论原则。
Now, the idea was not only there was the written law of God in the Bible, but in addition to the written law of God, which we find in special revelation, there is also the common revelation which God gave his law through nature.
所以这个想法是不仅有我们在圣经中找到的那已经被写出的神的律法，但除了我们借特殊启示得着的神的律法之外，神也透过自然启示他的律法。
There is a natural knowledge of some of the basic principles of right and wrong that God has endowed his creatures with.
所以神赋予他的创造物一些关于对错的基本原则。
One of the most evident scriptural proof was Paul's argument in the book of Romans, chapter 2.
最明显的圣经证据就是保罗在罗马书中的论点，在罗马书第二章。
Direct you to verse 12.
12节。
Read verse 12 to 16. You have it up there? Okay. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. This is referring to the Gentiles. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. And this is for the Jews.
所以第十二节，凡没有律法犯了罪的，也必不按律法灭亡，就是讲到外邦人。凡在律法以下犯了罪的，也必按律法受审判，这是讲到犹太人。
For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous.
原来在神面前不是听律法的为义，乃是行律法的称义。
Verse 14. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law.
没有律法的外邦人若顺着本性行律法上的事，他们虽然没有律法，自己就是自己的律法。
They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them.
这是显出律法的功用刻在他们心里，他们是非之心同作见证，并且他们的思念互相较量，或以为是，或以为非。
This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
就在神借耶稣基督审判人隐秘事的日子，照着我的福音所言。
Now this is a difficult text, and people tend to misinterpret it.
这是一个不容易的一章的经文，然后人人常常有误解。
Now draw your attention especially to verse 14. Verse 14 when it says, "When Gentiles who do not have the law." Do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves.
我特别要叫大家注意第十四节，没有律法的外邦人若顺着本性行律法上的事，他们虽然没有律法，自己就是自己的律法。
You see, the law, which is mentioned a couple of times here, actually could mean different things.
这里我们提到很多次的律法，但是他们实际上可能有不同的意思。
When the text says, the Gentiles who do not have the law,It was referring to what? To the law of Moses, which was only exclusively for the Jews.
所以当经文说到没有律法的外邦人，他们是这里指的是指向犹太人启示的这个摩西律法。
You see, the Gentiles do not have the oracles, the written revelation of God, or the verbal instruction of Ten Commandments and all the decrees and so on.
所以外邦人并没有神谕，也没有神所写的启示，也没有十诫和所有律例的口头指示等等。
Yet the Bible is saying they are nevertheless not without law.
然而他们并非没有律法。
Because Paul went on to say that though they have never received the law from Mount Sinai, they do by nature.Things required by the law.
因为保罗接着说，虽然他们从未接受过西乃山的律法， 但他们顺着本性会做律法所要求的事情。
Now you ask, how is this possible?
那你问这怎么可能呢？
Meaning, in their natural sense, they have a kind of law in their hearts, and the Bible calls it the conscience of man. There we are again.
所以意思就是他们的自然意识里，他们心中有一种律法，圣经称之为人的良心、是非之心。
And the Gentiles, by doing that, shows that they are involved in morality.
所以外邦人这样做时，就表明他们参与道德。
They are involved in moral decision.
他们参与道德的决策。
In everything they do, they know that it is a matter of ethics.
他们所做的一切，他们都知道这是跟伦理有关的。
By the things they do, their thoughts are either accusing them or defending them.
所以通过他们所做的事，他们的思想不是在指责他们，就是在辩护他们。
There is an alarm ringing in their mind with regards to what's right and what's wrong in whatever they do.
他们的头脑总是会告诉他们，他们所做的是对还是错的。
So what we actually hear in these passages is that God has infused a ray of His eternal wisdom and justice into the nature of man.
所以我们在这里所听到的就是，神已经将他永恒的智慧和公义注入人性当中。
And however weak that nature has become, God has left even to fallen man so much comprehension of His law.And that the law rules their outward behavior, and indeed, a certain sense of their will.
所以，无论自然的人性变得多么软弱，上帝继续让堕落的人类对他的律法有一定的认识，以致律法支配他们的外在行为，实际上在某种意义上也统治着他们的意志。
And that is the reason why even among the Gentiles, they have their own human laws.
这也是为什么即使在外邦人当中，他们也有自己的人的律法。
Wherever man gathers, there are laws being formulated in their community.
所以无论人们聚集在哪里，社区都会制定法律。
And this is a testimony to the law of nature. That is, God has somehow written His laws in every human heart, and every human being does have a sense of God's law in their conscience.
所以这个就是自然法的见证，也就是说上帝以某种方式将他的律法写在每个人的心里，每个人的良心上都确实有上帝律法的知觉。
Which means to say, every human being is a moral creature.
这也就是说每一个人都是道德的生物。
So what Paul is saying in Romans 2 is that not only men have a universal natural revelation of the existence of God,But to some degree, they have a knowledge of the law of God.
所以基本上，保罗在罗马书第二章中所说的就是，人不但对神的存在有普遍的自然启示，而且在某种程度上，他们也知道神的律法。
And if they go against it, they suffer its consequences.
然后如果他们违背神的律法，就会受到惩罚。
And in fact, a number of natural law principles can be drawn from the Bible.
其实从圣经我们可以取出许多自然法原则。
For example, in the regulations of the Mosaic law about the forbidden decrees in marriage, an element is discovered which it belongs to the natural law, is binding upon the whole humanity.
比如从摩西律法中关乎婚姻禁止的法令，我们可以发现一个要素，就是由于它属于自然法，因此对整个人类具有约束力。
Canaanites, for example,They are not subjected to the review laws of God, but they were exterminated on account of their incestuous disregard for the marriage laws.
比如说迦南人，他们没有神启示的律法的约束，但是他们被灭绝是因为他们乱伦，无视婚姻法。
And we know about their history, we know these Canaanites, they offer their children to the fire as a sacrifice to their gods.
然后我们也知道这些迦南人将他们的孩子送入火中作为祭拜偶像的祭物。
And God does not say, oh, these people are backwards because they don't have the law of Moses, they don't know what they are doing, it's evil.
但是上帝没有说，这些人没有摩西的律法，所以他们不知道自己所做的是邪恶的。
No, but God commanded extermination.
但是神宣布他们将要被灭亡。
Because these people know in their conscience it's wrong and they went against it.
因为他们在他们的良心知道他们所做的是错的，但是他们仍然去做。
So basically, what Paul was saying is that fundamentally, every human being knows the difference between right and wrong, and they are born with it.
所以基本上保罗所说的是，在根本上，每个人都知道对与错的区别，而且他们生来就有这种区别力。
It's a knowledge that God has given us in nature.
这是上帝在自然界中赋予我们的知识。
And we can see evidence of it if we examine again, for example, the word use the gentium. I don't know whether you've heard of this.
所以如果我们思想这个拉丁文use gentium, 我们就会看到一些证据。
It means the law of nations.
这个的意思就是万民法。
Now,Use gentium, law of nation. Now, this term was initially invented by the Romans, where it referred to the rules and laws that were common to the various nations or people under the Roman Empire.
所以这个术语最初由罗马人发明，只在罗马帝国下各个国家或人民共同的规则和法律。
And they were used in cases between non-Roman citizens or between a Roman and non-Roman citizen.
所以它用于非罗马公民之间或是罗马公民与非罗马公民之间的案件。
And it gradually became the common law of the Roman Empire and was deemed to be of universal application.
所以它逐渐成为罗马帝国的普通法，也被认为具有普遍适用性。
Now, for example, it calls for the prisoner of war to be treated humanely and not slain.
比如他呼吁人道的对待战俘，而不是杀害战俘。
Or contracts that are formed by mere consent of parties are to be recognized and enforced.
或者只有经当事人同意而形成的合同也将被得到承认和执行。
So you see, these are universal norms and principles.
所以这些都是普遍的规范。
Everyone in their natural sense know that certain principles.Are universal.
每个人在自然意识里都知道某些的原则是普遍性的。
I mean, yes, there are wars and killings in certain circumstances which are justified.
当然，在某些情况下有战争和杀戮是合理的。
We also heard of tribes who practice cannibalism, but who only eat the flesh of human who dies, or if not, unless they are caught in very desperate.Hunger crisis. They will not do that.
我们也听说过有些部落他们是食人族，但是他们只吃死人的肉，或是只有当他们陷入非常绝望的饥饿危机，他们才会食人。
But in general, the whole world knows homicide is evil.
但是基本上全世界都知道杀人是邪恶的。
The whole world knows it's wrong to steal another person's property.
全世界都知道我们偷窃他人的财物是不对的。
The whole world knows it's wrong to lie.
全世界都知道说谎是错的。
We don't need to go up to Mount Sinai to understand this.
我们不需要登上西乃山才明白这一点。
And that is why, coming back, the framework of the Constitution of America at the Declaration of Independence talk about natural law.
这就是为什么美国宪法框架在独立宣言中谈论自然法。
In fact, it is not just Christianity or Judaism that gives us the basic principles by which we liveOr our basic rights.
其实不仅仅是基督教或是犹太教才为我们提供了生活的基本原则，或告诉我们我们拥有什么基本的权利。
But we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which is the rights of life and the liberty to pursue happiness.
但是造物主赋予我们某些不可剥夺的权利，其中包括生命权和追求幸福的自由权。
So in states like America, which was one Christian, but now increasingly turned secular, there is still an appeal to natural law, not the Bible.
所以在美国这样一个日益世俗化的国家，人们还是非常倾向自然法而不是圣经。
And that's why, coming back to Judge Thomas, Judge Thomas said this.
这也是为什么这个托马斯法官曾经说过。
He said the thesis of natural law is that,Human nature provides the key to how men ought to live their lives.
他说自然法的论点是人性提供了人们应该如何生活的关键。
And this suggests that natural law dictates morality to us instead of leaving matters to individual choice.
所以这个表明自然法向我们规定道德准则，而不是让个人选择什么是对，什么是错的。
And he ever suggested that the application of natural law does suggest the fetus in the woman's womb has the right to life, and of course, to the dismay of many pro-choice people.
所以他也认为自然法的应用确实表明女性子宫内的胎儿拥有生命权，这也是许多支持堕胎的人感到失望的地方。
But why is natural law significant?
但是为什么自然法如此的重要？
Because it reflects a higher law that can be found in nature itself, and some sees it as an extension of the eternal law of God.
因为它反映了自然界本身存在的更高法则，而有些人将其视为上帝永恒法则的延伸。
But people, what we've done is that we've denied the eternal law.
但是我们却否认了永恒法。
We've denied natural law.
我们否认了自然法。
So where are we?
所以我们在哪里呢？
Moral relativism.
道德相对主义。
Where else could we be?
我们还能去哪里呢？
I mentioned the other day about Friedrich Nietzsche attributing the decadence of Europe to herd morality.
我之前提过，尼采将欧洲的衰落归咎于群体道德。
And what he meant by that was that people were behaving according to conventions, customs, without really thinking about what is right and what is wrong.
所以他的意思是，人们按照惯例习俗来行事，并没有真正思考什么是对的，什么是错的。
And we saw both from history and the Bible that no one gets away with it when he broke the laws of God, be it the eternal law of God or the natural law.
但是我们从历史还有圣经都会看到，当有人违背神的律法时，无论是神的永恒法还是神赋予自然界的自然法，没有人能逃脱惩罚。
My plea to you today is simply this.
所以我今天向各位的呼吁就是
Think about the basis for what is right.
我们要思考什么是对的根基。
Especially Christian.
尤其是基督徒。
How do we know what is right except by looking to the law of God?
除了仰望神的律法之外，我们怎么知道什么是对的呢？
And God does not hide His law.
上帝并没有隐藏他的律法。
He reveals it in the Bible and He reveals it through nature.
神是借着圣经，也是借着自然界来显明他的律法。
That's why the Old Testament saints look to the law of God as a lamp to their feet and a light on their path.
这也是为什么旧约圣徒将神的律法视为他们脚前的灯，路上的光。
And from these laws, look to the character of God whose inherent righteousness and holiness expose our evil for what it is.
所以从这些律法，我们可以认识神的品格，神固有的公义和圣洁揭露了我们人的邪恶本质。
And then,We will confess that we are sinners.
所以我们必须要承认我们是罪人。
And part of our sin is the propensity to justify my sin, to try to deny my sin, to excuse my sin.
而我们的罪的一部分就是倾向于为我们的罪辩护，试图否认我们的罪，为我们的罪找借口。
And many a times to silence my conscience by saying everybody is doing it.
所以很多时候我们都说每个人都这样做，我们说这个来压制我们的良心。
So I have the right to do that also.
所以我也有权利想做什么就做。
But by doing that, we are attacking the very foundation of righteousness itself, which is the law of God.
但是若是这样，我们就是在攻击公义本身的基础，就是神的律法。
Now, if we are caught in this situation, turn to God through His Son Jesus.
如果我们知道自己已经处在这样的光景里，我们要借着神的儿子耶稣转向神。
And there you will find forgiveness for your sins and also His laws to lead you in paths of righteousness.
然后你的罪才能够得到饶恕，并且神的律法会引导你走义路。
Let's pray together.
我们一起来祷告。
Father, we thank you for this message today on natural law.
神，我们感谢你今天给我们有关这个自然法的这个信息。
And we saw that.Your laws is not only revealed in the Bible, it's revealed in nature also.
我们看到神你的律法不但是只有在圣经显明，也在自然界显明。
And you have also given that natural sense to us that even though we may not have read the Bible, we are without excuse.
你也给我们这个自然的意识，以致我们虽然没有读过圣经，我们也没有借口。
Lord, I pray that with the gospel that is given us,
神，我们祷告，借着所赐给我们的圣经
，with the truths that have been taught us，
所教导我们的真理
，lead us in paths of righteousness for your namesake。
求神，你为了你的名引导我们走义路。
And through the message today, you know, let us do a clear introspection of our lives。
接着今天的信息，求神让我们清楚地反思我们的生命。
Let us know and be warned about the danger of going against our conscience.
让我们受到警戒，如果我们违背我们的良心是何等危险的。
And also, Lord, equip us through today's message to learn to evangelize or to witness to the non-believers.
也借着今天的信息，求神装备我们，晓得怎样跟非信徒来传福音。
And you have taught us to make a defense of our faith to others.
神，你叫我们要在别人面前为我们所信的来辩护。
And I ask of you, through such lessons or lectures you have given us, equip us intellectually and spiritually.
接着我们所上的课，求神在在灵性方面，在智慧方面都装备我们。
And we pray for a very fruitful forum session later.
神，我们为着等一下的小组，我们祷告。
Pray that everyone can be edified by the sharing and insights.
求神让我们所分享的能够造就彼此。
In the name of Christ, we pray.
我们奉主耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.